Well, you're a special night tonight, and that's prayer meeting. And what I'd like to do is, for the next few moments, I want to share, if you got your prayer list when you came in, there was a sheet like this. Yours is white, this is slightly cream. But this was in our bulletin Sunday. It also is in your prayer list tonight. And what I'd like to do is catch us up, if we're not already caught up, from what our prayer emphasis was through this week. Because you don't forget, this coming Monday and Tuesday, we'll have a special nights of revival, Monday, Tuesday at 7 o'clock. I want you to come. I want you to invite people. I'd love for us to have a great crowd in here, not just for the great crowd's sake, but I really believe Brother Pope is a person, as we're going to pray tonight, that he's going to be somebody who's prayed up, ready to give the messages that the Lord would have for our church. And it's a special two-day meeting. We'll move the midweek service from Wednesday back to Tuesday, so there won't be anything going on Wednesday, but Monday and Tuesday night next week. And Brother Pope pastors a great church down in Houston. He's a wonderful friend. He's a delightful preacher, and I'd really like for you to hear him. But what I'd like to do in this prayer meeting night tonight is go over these emphases over the next 15, 20 minutes, and then just have you pray. You're here with somebody, if you are. In just a moment, you can turn that way and pray together over these specific requests. Here by yourself, of course, pray to the Lord would bless as well. But I'm going to direct you to Ezra chapter 7, verse number 10, and that's our theme verse for this first day of prayer, which was on Monday, but we're going to use this as our guide for tonight. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs. So that's where Ezra is in the Old Testament. And Ezra is written by God, but given to by Ezra as he leads a small group of remnant back to the promised land. After they've been captured and held in captivity for 70 years, God brings a big wave of them back before, under Zerubbabel. And then there's a small group under Ezra that goes back. And when he goes back, he finds out that even though that small group of people that went back to the land that God had promised them, they went back with good intentions, but their good intentions got derailed and they got tangled up in the ways of the world back amongst the heathen who had taken over, of course, the land that they had been deported from. And we find ourselves with Ezra, though, as he's trying to encourage, motivate, shake, and stir the people to look to God again. And I want you to look at verse number 10 of Ezra chapter 7 and just take this little thought out of it. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. We're going to come back in a little bit to Ezra and look at that aspect for another emphasis of prayer that we've got. But I'm asking all of us to pray that God would prepare our hearts. Now, let me give you the secret, I think, from my own self, and I think it's true with other people. There's a reason why when we come to a service and we leave the service and really little or nothing has happened in our heart. Can I tell you why? At least for my own self. For my own self, it's because it's those times that I wasn't prepared when I went in. I wasn't all the way there. You've heard the phrase, if you're there, be all there, right? You've also heard the analogy given maybe in a marriage refresher retreat or a couples conference or something when it's been told to the husband or the wife, if you've had a busy day at work or you've had a busy day handling problems, that you ought to make sure that you get all of that worked out on your drive home. If you're not all the way home when you get in the driveway, maybe take another little lap around and so you can blow off some of that steam before you come in and let the steam off on the people that are in your house. Because those people didn't do anything to make your day rotten. Well, the same thinking is true with what I'm asking us all to do about the revival. First of all, I'd like everybody to commit to come. But beyond that, I'd like for us to come with prepared hearts. So the times that I've gone out of church not having my heart challenged or dealt with was oftentimes because I wasn't expecting it. I was still taking care of several other issues in my mind, even though somebody up at the pulpit was preaching. I was still somewhere else, and I'm asking us to prepare our hearts. Pray the Lord will soften our hearts, get us ready, and those that are here in attendance, that the Lord would have free reign in them. So I'm going to ask the ladies to play on the, or at least the organ to play. And I'm just going to ask you to pray that. Pray already that your heart would be ready to receive what God has. Pray that the Lord would have the hearts of the people who also will be sitting here with us, their hearts to be ready. We'll have some guests and some other folks from other churches will come, which we're always glad. But pray the Lord would work in their hearts as well. So if you play for us and we'll pray together, and Brother Dan will come in just a few moments and let you know when we'll move on to the next emphasis for prayer.
Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, the Bible says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." Tonight we would also like to pray for Dr. Pope as he comes. Much like Paul prayed, Paul's request was that he might receive what God would have him say, and that he would do it with boldness. And that is our prayer tonight for Dr. Pope, that he would say exactly what God would have for each and every one of us. And that as he delivers it, that he delivers it with boldness, making known the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's also pray for the protection, God's hand on him, and protection for his journey here, for his way here, his way home. While he's here, let's pray and ask God that he would give him rest, that he would help him to rest, so that when he goes to preach, that he preaches in fullness, Holy Spirit fullness and power, and that he could deliver what God has for us. And let us pray that Dr. Pope would be a vessel through which God shows us what we need, and also what we don't need, what we need to put off. That'll be the next emphasis that we pray as she plays. Thank you.
I'd like to read for you Matthew chapter 6, verse number 6. And it's the third installment of our prayer emphasis on the sheet that you have. The Bible says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." The reason I've chosen this verse for the prayer emphasis as far as praying for the people is this. It's so easy, and all of us make excuses for folks and for ourselves. You say, people just don't come out to stuff anymore. You know, I know that there was a day in our nation that if a revival was going on in a church, especially in the little towns where I grew up in, if they just put a big banner out in the yard, hand-painted sometimes, and just put it out there, revival, 7 p.m., people would come because they were looking for something to do. Well, if I asked you the question, when was the last time you tried to look very hard for something to do, you'd say, it's been a long time. Because actually, we have more to do than we can get done. And so that's why I'm challenging us with this verse. Pray and seek the Lord. Ask thy Father which seeth in secret, and he could reward thee openly. Right here in the service, open up his goodness and show us the answers to prayer openly. If we pray in secret, Lord, I pray that you would fill our church house up for this revival. And oh, that we might see this verse come true, that as we pray silently or pray privately, and I'm asking you not just for tonight, but for the rest of the week leading up to next week, that you would pray, Lord, bring people here, because I really believe that our area needs an old-fashioned, God-honoring revival. People need to be brought back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Saved people who are far away from Him need to be revived. People that have been at it a long time need to be revived. The true meaning of revival is it's brought back to life. And we need some of that ourselves. It doesn't matter whether you're one of the most faithful people at this church or whether you just happen to slip in and you don't typically come. We need revival. And so if you would pray with me that God would help people clear their schedules and be a part of these two nights. I believe it's not a two-week revival like they used to have, but I believe for these two nights, we could have a touch of God, we could have a wonderful spirit, we could have our church family and some others that would come in here and let God minister to their hearts. But you know and I know that there's nothing like being in the place where the Lord's blessing. So would you pray with me as we continue our emphasis on prayer about this? Pray that people would clear their schedules and be here for both nights. And you may be sitting there saying, I can't be here both nights. I'm working one of those nights. It's not hypocritical for you to pray, Lord, please bless people and let them clear their schedule to be here. If you're providing for your family and working, then we all know that. But you pray with us that God would give us a great crowd in here. And I keep saying great crowd, but not for great crowd's sake. But that's just that many more people that are under the sound of the Word of God. So let's pray together about people clearing their schedules and being here for the event.
Paul says in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Our prayer tonight for this period of time in the church's life is that God would strengthen our church through these meetings, and that we would be unified. When Paul says here, "Let your conversation becometh as the gospel of Christ," the gospel of Jesus Christ is unifying. The Spirit is unifying. His Word is unifying. He would have us be unified. And together we move forward as He would have us do. Together we reach out and we reach others with the gospel of Christ. And we do that together. We do that in unity. Will you join me in praying for the unity of the church tonight?
Well, we started in Ezra, and we're going to end in Ezra tonight. I already told you that Ezra was a unique person. He has bringing a small group of people back to the Promised Land. When he got back there, he found that the larger group that had already come some years before had got off track, got involved in things they shouldn't be involved in, with people they shouldn't have been with, marrying strange wives, as the Bible calls it, and finding that they had found them, that they got themselves in a way totally contrary to where God wanted them to be. Well, folks, I don't have to tell us that we've gotten our nation way off track. You say, well, I didn't. Well, let me tell you what Ezra said in, let me find my place here. He said in verse number 6 of Ezra chapter 9, he said, O God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to see thee, my God, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespasses grown up unto our heavens, unto the heavens. And he just took that on and said, Lord, this is what we've been doing, even though he wasn't. Just laid it open before the Lord. He said that he spread out my hands unto the Lord my God and just said, Lord, this is really the way it is. Oftentimes when we think we try to hide, hold back, and keep things under wraps, there's always some motive there that's usually not holy. But when you just open up and say, Lord, you know who I am. And what Ezra said in chapter 9, verse 8, he says, now for a little space grace hath been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us, and I love this phrase, a nail in his holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. Verse 9, for we're bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God and to repair the desolations thereof and to give us a wall in Judah and Jerusalem. That was quite literally, they were trying to build up walls around and get the temple back up and running, and they were physically trying to build up the things that God had wanted them to come back for. Ezra said, Lord, it feels like we've got a little space. Grace has been given to us. And I don't want to over-spiritualize the text, but I believe that there's been a little bit of space of grace given to us right now. I have no idea how long we have, but I would love for when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, for Him to find a church on side of this little street that's just thriving and growing and reaching people and seeing folks saved. I pray that when the day that the Lord comes back, that that week before, people have been saved from Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. A little space, I believe grace has been given, and may we take that space, receive that grace, and live in such a way that we'd see the Lord do a mighty work in our midst. So for this last season of prayer, here's what I'd like for you to do. I'd like for you to pray that God would do a mighty work in our hearts through Brother Pope. He's just a man. He's a wonderful fella, but he's just a man given to the Lord. But that God would do a great work while we still have opportunity. Because you understand, we may not be here Monday. We're praying all these things as if God's going to give us that time, but He may not. But if He does, let's pray that God would do a great work in us. And the last season of prayer also will be for this, our normal invitation. Perhaps you're here tonight and you say, Brother Herdman, I came, but I appreciate the prayer emphasis, but there's a bigger need on my heart. I'm not sure that I'm saved. At this last time, when we have the instruments play, I'm going to ask you just to slip down here to the front. Me or Brother Dan, one or the other, will slip down with a Bible and show you how you can be sure that heaven's your home. It's a Wednesday night. I guess I know everybody, I think, but doesn't mean I know your heart. Maybe there's something you've been battling with for years, and you just need to get it settled tonight. And if you're here tonight, you're not sure that you're saved, then on this last season of prayer, I'm going to ask you to come. Let us take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're saved. Maybe there's some other spiritual need you have. We didn't cover it tonight, but you know the Holy Spirit has put His finger on what you need to take care of. I'm challenging you to take care of there in your seat. Come to the altar if you want to, but don't leave without getting it taken care of. If I come to you and tell you how to take care of something and you don't do it, that's not the end of the world. But boy, oh boy, if the Lord visits you and pinpoints something in your life that you need to take care of, and then you don't do it, I don't want to be in that situation. Let's pray together. Hour of prayer, that's the song she's singing. We haven't prayed the whole hour, but we've met for an hour, and we've prayed for about a half an hour. And I trust that the Lord has done something special in your heart. As we prayed about these issues, and I want you to take that sheet, if you would, and continue to pray that the Lord would do a great work. It could be that God would give us the greatest meeting that's ever been had at this church. If that happened, that's a big statement, because there's been some great meetings that have been had through the years. And I pray that God would do it. Thank you for being in church this evening. I want to give you a couple words of announcements that you leave. Don't forget, there's the Easter invite cards, Resurrection Sunday. We are celebrating the resurrection. We put Easter on here because that's what people understand. They know what it is, but it's more than that. It's certainly Resurrection Day, and that's what we're celebrating. I celebrate every Sunday. But we're celebrating specifically on Easter Sunday. We're coming up on Resurrection Sunday, 1 week from this Sunday. And please take some of those out there. There's a billboard out right on the other side of Burger King. We're trying to get the word out as much as we can. And we want you to take some of those and invite people. On that day, there'll be primary and junior church will be moved to the Family Life Center, the 11 o'clock hour, just to make it easier for guests as they come in. And we'll have a wonderful time for primary and junior church. There'll be Dippin' Dots for all the kids. All that will get communicated through. We'll have a good time with that. And then I want you to come this Sunday night. We'll talk about how we can have a great Easter Sunday, a great Resurrection Sunday on this Sunday evening coming. We'll talk about that. And then there's a Bloom Ladies event, and that's what they're calling it, on April the 23rd at 5 p.m. And ladies, if you haven't signed up yet, you don't want to miss. It'll be a great time. There's a sign-up sheet on the Welcome Center if you want to bring food, or there's a sign-up sheet just to come. Please sign that, and you'll have a great time. Amy and I's friend, Maria Comiskey, is a dear Christian lady and will be your speaker for that event. You will not want to miss. She's been here before. She's sung here in the services, and you will enjoy that, ladies. It'll be a great time. And then, last event, Brother Dan, they need to know anything about Saturday? Just come. We're having a spring cleaning, and I know that you'd like for us to come to your house and help you with your spring cleaning, but we ain't coming. But we would like for you to come help us, and that for some fine Southern hospitality. But 9 o'clock, Brother Dan's going to have sausage biscuits, and if you don't like sausage biscuits, take the sausage off, I guess. But he's going to have sausage biscuits. We'll have coffee. We'll have orange juice. We'll start at 9 a.m., and then we'll get a quick bite to eat, and then we'll clean outside. We'll clean inside, or spring clean inside. We'll be doing, Lord willing, mulch and trimming some hedges and things like that. You bring some tools, bring some gloves. Hopefully, we'll knock things out in a couple hours. We'd love to just have as many as we can, and if you've been seeing some things around here need to be done, then maybe we missed it. You come ready to do it, and we'll have a great time on this Saturday as our spring clean event is here. So thank you so much. If you want to help with some meals, Amy is going to be out in the lobby. And if you have questions about the ladies' event, you can ask her that as well. But if you'd like to sign up, as some of you have mentioned that you would like to make some meals for the Wakefields, then just see Amy, and that way we can schedule it and make sure that we don't overrun them on one particular day. So thank you. Let's all stand together. God bless you. Thank you for being in church tonight. What a wonderful prayer meeting. Thank you for being part of it. It's been a great place. You're dismissed.